Starting a business as a sustainability champion can be exciting. For many of the champions we featured on this podcast and on our channel, their products or services are making a real difference in how we address the environmental challenges we face. From strategies, business planning, raising capital, operations, logistics, marketing, sales, there are many factors every business owner has to think about when starting and running a company. One factor that's at the core of a business's brand identity is their trademark. Your organization's trademark is a sign capable of distinguishing the goods or services from those of other organizations. Having a trademark protects your brand. However, many business owners aren't aware they need a trademark, or in most cases, don't even understand how to go about registering a trademark and protecting their intellectual property. In this three-part series, we wanted to do something a little different. We wanted to offer insights and useful business information to our professional audience of sustainability champions. In today's episode, we talk about protecting your brand, the trademarking process, and what every business needs to know about trademarking. Today's guest is Oliver Auguz, the director at Trademark Wizards. Based in London, Trademark Wizards works with clients all over the world, supporting them with their trademark registration, protection, dispute resolution, and litigation. I hope you enjoy this first episode in our three-part professional series. Hey, Oliver, thanks so much for joining the Sustainability Champions podcast. Great to have you on the show.
Thanks very much for inviting me, Daniel. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Of course. Yeah, it's great to have the opportunity to talk. This is part of our professional series where we're going through what sustainability champions need to think about as they're running their business. And so, Oliver, the way I typically like to start these conversations is by taking a step back and really understanding big picture, what does Trademark Wizards do? Like, what is your sort of elevator pitch?
So Trademark Wizards is a firm of chartered trademark and design attorneys. So we're intellectual property consultants, but we specialize mainly in the protection of trademarks and designs and copyright. So what we do, we search for conflicting trademarks, both in the UK and around the world. We advise clients on protection strategies. We prepare and file trademark applications. We take them through. We prosecute those applications through to registration. And we also provide post-registration services, such as enforcement services, both nationally and internationally. We provide monitoring services as well. And we also provide national and international defense services, just in case our clients are on the receiving end, if you will, of a lawsuit.
Great. Well, thanks very much. So what trademarking is, I think, a really important concept when you're starting a business, when you have a business, especially if you have multiple brands. What are the challenges associated with either incorrectly trademarking or not trademarking at all?
I think if you incorrectly trademark your brand, or well, if you make a mistake in your trademark application, it may mean that you have to start all from the beginning again. And it's quite a long, protracted process sometimes, and expensive it can be, depending on whether you run into any trouble or not. But if you do make that mistake, or you know, if you make a material mistake in your trademark application and you do have to start again, it might be too late. Someone might have pipped you to the post and filed the application for you correctly in their own name, and effectively potentially they can hold you to ransom over your own brand, as well as other things.
Well, that certainly sounds like something that you don't want to ever deal with. And is that something that you've seen happen, where people actually, their brands or IPs held ransom?
Absolutely. I mean, if you don't have a trademark. Well, actually, if somebody else registers your trademark, effectively, it could mean that they can stop you using your own brand. In some circumstances, they can force you into, handing over your domain names, social media handles. They can, apart from stopping you using your name, if you've made some money, potentially they could even sue you for damages and profits. And if they've spent money on legal fees, they can claim those off you as well. And if you do have some stock, if you're selling goods with the trademarked brand on them, you may have to hand those over to the trademark owner or destroy them. Those are just some of the things, some of the unsavory things that might happen to you if you're really unlucky and you don't trademark your brand and someone does takes it before you do.
That's insane. So you could be in business doing your thing, could be extremely successful, everything's going well, you forgot to trademark, and then someone else comes in, trademarks correctly, and you could lose it all just because of that, and they would file suit saying you're using our trademark.
Well, what they could do in that, if you've already built the business, the circumstances that I just spoke about usually happen with startups that are just about to begin, but they haven't trademarked their brand correctly. And therefore, they haven't built up a reputation yet. So somebody has trademarked the name correctly, and then effectively has watched, has watched the company trade and has sat there and watched them make money, and then they've waited to make their move. Usually they wait until the company has the company has filed some accounts, because then you can actually see how much profit they've made, and then there's sometimes less of an argument as to how much damages would be payable.
So it sounds almost like it could be a career thing. I mean, you could have professionals who
People do it for a living. They hijack brands and they sell them to the brand owners. I mean, in your example, in your second example, where if somebody actually had a successful business, then it's slightly more difficult to trademark the name in the country where that person is trading, and get away with it. But they will have to. They will have a hard time getting that trademark back, and they will have to spend a lot of money getting that trademark back. In which case, they might as well just pay the hijacker to avoid the hassle. Basically,
it's absolutely crazy. It kind of reminds me of people who buy domain names. You know, when something's about to happen, you realize cryptocurrency is going to be big, but it's not there yet. You buy cryptocurrency.com and just wait, and someone's going to want it, you know, or if a new company
exactly
is coming
the
out.
Same as the cyber squatter principle. I mean, usually if somebody wants to squat against someone who's already got a reputation, what they usually do is, I mean, the person with the reputation should already have a trademark. If they don't, then, you know, that's one of the biggest schoolboy errors that company, has made. But let's just say they do have a trademark where they're operating. The brand squatter would probably just file the trademark in other territories around the world, and, you know, try and block imports and exports, etc. Or they could actually set up a legitimate business in another country and free ride off the reputation of the original brand owner. And sometimes, if there's any confusion, or if the squatter provides goods or services which are substandard, it could tarnish the original brand owner's reputation.
Yeah, I can see that being a huge issue. And just on this point of international, and you mentioned it as well at the beginning, when you're talking about how you're doing national and international. You focus nationally and internationally, and national, just so we're all clear, is within the UK in this specific context.
National is anywhere. National is where the brand owner resides.
Gotcha.
So everyone should have, at the bare minimum, a national trademark registration where their base is, where their home is, basically. Yeah. Everyone should have solid concrete rights in their home territory before they think about filing, extending the brand protection into other territories, which would be international, depending on where you are.
Makes sense. Yeah, absolutely. It's home is wherever, I guess, you're in this case, wherever you're resided or wherever the business is headquartered.
Yeah.
And so does Trademark Wizards provide services for businesses outside of the UK as far as trademarking? Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, we're a one-stop shop for trademark protection globally. So it doesn't matter where the client is based around the world, or where the client wants to register a trademark, we can deal with all of that stuff.
And I mean, would you recommend it? Just, you know, talking about all of these trademark pirates and things that we were just talking about,
sure.
Would you recommend that if a business were interested in getting trademarked? I mean, do they also need to get trademarked in, you know, however many hundreds of countries there are around the world? Do you have to do, you just said start nationally and then go international, but, you know, the idea of someone taking my brand and making another version of, let's say, Sustainability Champions or any company in another country makes me think maybe I should trademark in every single country around the world right off the bat.
Yeah, so I think this is really important. So I mean, if the listeners or viewers take one thing home, it should be this: it's that when you file your first trademark application anywhere, it should be in your home territory. Okay, you're protected all around the world for 6 months, so you have time to breathe. Okay, just make sure you get your stake in the ground, at the very least in your home territory. And then when it gets to 6 months, that's called the priority period, that 6 month period. And as long as you extend protection or file your foreign trademarks within the 6 month period, those foreign trademarks will be backdated to your original filing date. So what that means is that once you file, let's say it was a UK trademark application, and let's say after that application was filed, the squatters started filing it in China, US, Japan, Australia, EU, whatever, effectively you would be blocked from protecting your trademark and maybe trading in those territories. But as long as you file the trademark within 6 months, those trademarks would supersede any trademark that was filed in between. So otherwise, like you say, you know, you especially with a business like yours, or, you know, something like a podcast or something like that, it's borderless. So you Definitely. Would need to, you know, your audience is all over the world. So you would want to protect it everywhere. But you don't have to do it immediately, because otherwise, you know, we're not Coca-Cola and we're not Apple here. So we don't have, we don't have a money tree next to us. So, yeah, just remember, file it in your own country first, or, you know, wherever it is. And then you've got 6 months to breathe.
Yeah, thank you. I think that's really helpful, because otherwise it seems like an overwhelming task to file in, you know, hundreds or even just dozens of countries, especially you mentioned that it can sometimes be a lengthy and complex process.
Exactly.
So that's quite a relief. And I suppose from there you can just prioritize which countries to focus on based on what your business strategy is, et cetera.
Exactly. And usually your attorney would always provide you with a strategy. I mean, before you file your trademark application, your attorney would learn your business inside out, and they'll know what you want to do now or in the future, and now and in the future. And obviously they would prepare you a strategy, you know, to reflect your commercial plans and, you know, the legal protection that you need.
And when you say your attorney, I mean, this is what Trademark Wizards does. So you could be the attorney.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, there are, I mean, we are trademark attorneys. So, I mean, there are thousands of us around, you know, and a lot of them, most of them are all my friends as well. So I wouldn't not want to, you know, to say that, you know, there's equally, if not better, talent out there. But you should always find yourself a friendly attorney that you get on with, and that, you know, doesn't have a chess timer next to their telephone every time you phone. It's nice to have someone that you can just also use as a commercial sounding board as well, you know, like a legal friend, basically.
Always good to have one of those.
Exactly, yeah.
And just out of curiosity, because I've heard these two terms being thrown around and I'm realizing I actually have no clue what the difference is. What is the difference between trademark and copyright? And I guess as a follow-up to that, sometimes I see, you know, you see brands and it says the little TM, or sometimes it says the little R, or sometimes it says the little C. I mean, what are these things, and how important are they for a business to know?
So I guess what you're talking about is intellectual property, the broad term, and there are different types of intellectual property. So intellectual property is different from real property. So with real property, you know, that would be like a house that you can buy and sell, whereas intellectual property is intangible property, which is property that's created, if you like, from the brain. You know, sometimes people say property that you can't touch,
like an idea.
One type of property is the patent. Okay, so the patent is an invention. Okay, that's usually something novel with an inventive step that's that has a technical solution to a problem, etc. Okay, the other type of intellectual property is the trademark. Okay, so that is the brand, that's protection of the brand. So that's the sign that's used in commerce that distinguishes one trader from another trader, if you like. There are different types of trademarks, you know, words, logos, colors, sounds, etc.
But it's all about the brand is what the trademark
is. Yes, exactly. Gotcha. And then you have designs, which usually refer to the appearance of a product or an article. And then after you have copyright, okay? And copyright in the UK is an inherent right. So you don't need to register your copyright, but there are a lot of companies that offer this sort of service, but I don't believe in them, basically. And the copyright covers literary, dramatic, artistic, and musical works. And it also delves into, you know, broadcasting and stuff like that. So they're the different types of intellectual property, the main types of intellectual property rights. And then in answer to your question about the different symbols, so sometimes you have the C, the small C in the circle, and then you have the R in the circle, and then you have the TM.
Yeah.
So with the, I'll give you my definitions, but with the R in a circle, that refers to the registered trademark. And that's once you can only use that once the trademark has once the application process is complete, okay, and you've got your trademark registration, then you can use the R in a circle. That's what companies should be aiming for, okay? With the TM, I don't like to call it this, but this is what everyone in my industry does call it. It's called a poor man's trademark, because usually what it means is actually you don't have a trademark registration, but you are, I guess, trying to tell people that that is your brand. I think one of the, I guess we don't really advise clients to use that, because sometimes you're telling people you don't have a trademark, you're advertising it, and sometimes competitors will check, and if you don't have it, then you know they'll gladly take it for you, usually by using a proxy, and then they can give you a hard time and be a nuisance to you. But sometimes we would advise you to use it if, for example, you file a trademark and it's descriptive of your product or your service that you provide. Let's say you filed a trademark for the word podcast for podcasting services. You wouldn't, this is an extreme example, by the way. Obviously, the trademark office would not allow you to have that trademark, because it would be an unfair monopoly. However, if you can show that you've been using the word podcast, and you've, I guess, you've made it somehow not a generic term because of the, you know, goodwill or the reputation that you've generated by using it, you might be able to say, and you have a strategy, okay, in order to educate the public that there is a secondary meaning and it refers to your business, not, you know, this, what we're doing right here. I guess during that process, you might want to use a TM next to the name, so you can, when you do submit evidence to the trademark office of your, you know, widespread intensive use of the name, as a brand, you can show them that, you know, it's got the TM next to it, you've been using it as a brand, and effectively they should grant you the monopoly over the word podcast. That's if you're trying to prove something called acquired distinctiveness. Mm-hmm. So you know, even though your trademark is descriptive, which we never admit anyway, you're just saying to the trademark office that because of the use I've made of it, I deserve to have it and own it.
Yeah, well, thank you for going through all of that. That's much, it's very enlightening and helpful. Now when I see it, I know what I'm actually looking at and understanding.
And then there was the C, sorry.
Oh yeah, C, that's right.
C in the circle. This is very quick. The C in the circle just refers to copyright. So any work that is, you know, an original copyright work, you know, you would use the C in the circle there. I'll keep it short and sweet on that one.
That's helpful. It is good to know these things, because people clearly take the time to put them there. And I mean, as a layperson, I don't know I didn't know what they meant. So that's very helpful. Do you think, and we've kind of touched on this, but just to ask it bluntly, do you think it's okay or morally or ethically okay, let's say, to go after someone who is using your brand incorrectly? So you mentioned at the beginning that one of the services you provide is to, you know, if there is a company, let's just say, going back to my podcast, if I discover that someone else is using my brand and my name somewhere else, and it's misrepresenting me, it's not my work at all, is it okay for me and to go after them, or should I sort of feel bad and say, well, they're trying and stuff like this, and maybe I shouldn't?
So I guess it wouldn't be if they're using your brand incorrectly. It would be if they're using your brand without your permission. So with the trademark registration, if someone's using your brand or something similar in relation to identical goods or services that you've protected it for, or services that are maybe complementary or related, and there might be confusion, then you are well within your rights to go after them. I say go after them. You're well within your rights to ask them to stop using the name, because It could tarnish your brand, and they could be taking unfair advantage of your reputation. So, you know, morally and legally, you have the right to do it. And that the whole point of protecting the brand is to ensure that you have control over it. I mean, amongst other reasons, that's one. However, like you say, someone might be trying to set up a business. Maybe somebody didn't mean to copy you, and maybe they just had a eureka moment while they were making a cup of tea, and they thought of the same name as you, and it's just a coincidence, and they started using it. And actually, maybe their products are quite good. So if in that respect, you might actually want to do business with them, and you might want to give them a license to use your brand, because, you know, let's say you're a clothing business, for example, and you protected your brand as a fashion brand, and someone was using the trademark for watches, for example, or shampoos, and everyone loved this shampoo, why would you get them to stop? Give them a license, and you would be effectively entering a market and building goodwill in a market where you would not have exploited the trademark yourself, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. It's almost like a free ticket into a whole new industry, potentially, that you would have never touched otherwise.
Well, this is it, exactly. And that's one of the that's a revenue stream that's created by the trademark. So when you protect your brand, you have to protect it in relation to different categories of goods and services, and they're grouped into things called classes. So usually, if somebody has a fashion brand, for example, and they sell, I don't know, let's say they start off with hoodies, obviously we would tell them to protect their brand for clothing, footwear, and headgear, because they are the, you know, they need to ring fence the brand for those articles. But we also, as commercial advisors, would say, actually, well, if your brand is unique and distinctive, you should protect it as a complete fashion brand. So you would look at cosmetics, body care products, fragrances, maybe sunglasses, jewelry, watches, and also accessories, you know, bags and leather goods and things like that. And, you know, those may create some licensing opportunities for you in the future, or when you sell your business in the future, or you get some investors on board, maybe you can show them that they're, you know, you've ring fenced the trademark, so that they can expand into other sort of, you know, they can have their fingers in a few more pies with respect to the revenue.
Yeah, it's brilliant. I mean, I never even considered an additional revenue stream from something like trademarking. You know, and I suppose this is going back to what you said about having a lawyer who's a friend and a trusted advisor, because these are the kind of opportunities that can come up. I mean, I would imagine most businesses don't have this, but in the event that it does come up, it's great to be able to take advantage of it. And instead of seeing it as a potential threat, see it as an opportunity, and both sides end up winning. And Oliver, you mentioned a little bit ago that there's thousands of you as far as trademark or our IP attorneys and consultants. But what makes you and the team at Trademark Wizards unique, and one of the reasons why I was so excited to have this conversation, is because of one of the directors and investors who is involved with Trademark Wizards, and that's Lord Sugar. Can you share a little bit about who, first of all, Lord Sugar is, in case there's someone who doesn't know, but also what his role is and how the opportunity came about?
Okay, so Lord Sugar is my business partner, one of my business partners. And what does Lord Sugar do? He does a lot of things. I guess he's a lord. So he's a member of he's a lord. He's a life peer in the UK. He's also a very successful businessman, very successful, and I would like to say well-respected businessman. in the UK, but I guess he's got a international reputation. He's known all around the world. I'd like to say he's a philanthropist as well. And I guess I've known Lord Sugar for about 15 years. I've managed trademark portfolios for his companies for around 15 years. And I guess our partnership came into place because when did it come into place? About 2019. So in 2018, I took over Trademark Wizards. I solely took over Trademark Wizards, and in that year, our firm became the UK's number one trademark company or trademark firm with respect to filing trademark applications. So we filed more trademark applications that year than any other firm in the UK. And I just remember when we did get the statistics in, I did tell Lord Sugar because I obviously, prior to taking over the company myself, I did have a bad time with all with my other business partners that I had. And Lord Sugar was one of the clients that stuck with me and had faith in me, basically. So I do remember saying thank you to him for obviously, trusting me and continuing to trust me with his work. And it motivated me and gave me confidence, and I did my best, and we became number one. And his response was, "Well done. I want some of your company now." Here we are, basically. And I think he's having him on board is actually quite good because I guess it gives me some business guidance. I think I love what I do. I love trademarks. I think I'm quite good at it, but on the business side of things, I could do with some sharpening up here and there. And Lord Sugar is he's quite good at that. And also we share similar principles in the sense that we like to help businesses grow. We like to help especially small businesses, startups, medium-sized businesses. We like to help them grow and do what we can to help them grow. And sometimes it's a bit difficult with IP because there is a lot of bullying that goes on. There are big companies that use their intellectual property rights, especially their trademarks, to bully small companies into changing their name. And I think Lord Sugar and I share the view that that's just not acceptable. And so we've kind of built up a reputation for for having anti-bullying principles, if you like, which is quite good.
I think that's fantastic, and I can't imagine a better compliment than having someone like Lord Sugar, who's an entrepreneur and investor, and has done so many things, saying "Well done," and "I want a part of your company."
Oh, yeah, no, it was really nice to hear. But by that time, I did say to him, "Look, can you not just take the whole thing? I've had enough now." He said, "No, I've got to stay there and work there." But yeah, no, I like working with him.
Yeah,
He's great.
and I think it's just a testament as well to the quality of work that you're doing at Trademark Wizards and the amount that you're helping. And like you said, I think it's really important, since you are working, your focus is on helping smaller companies. Like you said, it's not Coca-Cola that you're working with. You're working with smaller organizations. This and the anti-bullying principles that you just mentioned, I think, are really important to know. Certainly if I'm a client of Trademark Wizards, I would want to know that that's the approach that you're taking, that if
Sure.
someone comes out there, if someone is out there and tries to come in and take my brand or my trademarks, or just tries to, be aggressive in a way that isn't right. I know that I have you, I have the team at Trademark Wizards behind me, helping me and keeping me and my brands and a company safe. So I think it's a fantastic approach.
And if the bullying does get too much, and we do decide to take it right to the end, we will end up calling those bullies out, usually to 5 million people on Lord Sugar's Twitter as a first step, and then whatever else happens after that, it happens.
Yeah, I can imagine that typically takes care of things pretty. That can take care of things pretty quickly. And Oliver, if anyone wanted to learn more about Trademarks or reach out to you or one of your team members to discuss potentially being a client, or if they have a problem or issue or a question that they wanted to speak to you about, where would be the best place to go?
I think the best thing to do, if they've seen this podcast, then it might just be to get in contact with me directly. I'm always up for making new friends and having a chat and learning about people's businesses before they can have a chat with me before anything gets sent to the team. So you can just email me directly, oliver@trademarkwizards.co.uk. If they just needed something done, because this should have been done yesterday or whatever it is, and they've freaked out because they've heard what's been said on this podcast, and they can send an email into info@trademarkwizards and info@trademarkwizards.co.uk, and then what then happens there is that it will be allocated, the inquiry will be allocated to someone in the team, and they'll deal with it very quickly, especially if it's marked urgent. And then I guess we also have our socials. I have an Instagram. I'm not sure if I've ever posted anything on it yet, but I will start, which is my name, Oliver Oz, which is spelled Oguz. And then I have a LinkedIn, which is just my name. And then we have a LinkedIn, which is Trademark Wizards, simply.
Perfect. And the website, I imagine, is trademarkwizards.co.uk.
Exactly. Yeah.
Excellent. And we'll include these links in the show notes as well below, so that anyone listening, you don't have to madly scribble it down. You can just go on whatever platform you're listening to and take a look at it there. But Oliver, thank you again so much for your time and for going through this with me. It's been extremely educational and very helpful for me personally. So hopefully for those listening, it's been as well. So
take care. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. Thank you.